Let's open a prayer. Lord, I do thank you for tonight, Jesus. I thank you for this time, Lord, that we have together as sisters in the Lord. And Father, I pray that as we have this time together, that you would speak to us, Lord, minister to us in this area of just Psalm 23 and who you are. Pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a greater way through this study tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're looking at Psalm 23. And this psalm is called a Psalm of Expectation. And it's a leaning heart. So it's a Psalm of Expectation. And it's a psalm that leans into the shepherd. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified because, you know, I love the Amplified, but I love how it opens up. This portion of scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes and restores my soul for my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all of my days in the house of the Lord and in the presence of the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? You just see the tender care there of a shepherd with his sheep. And that's what we see in the psalm. In this psalm, we see how God tenderly cares for us. And it's amazing how Jesus, right, in the Gospel of John, he talked about us as sheep, that he was the good shepherd and we are sheep. And some facts that I want to read to you about sheep, and intertwined in there are some shepherd facts as well, is you can't drive sheep as you do cattle. They must be led. Did you know that? They have to be led. You can't drive them. Sheep cannot survive alone in the wilderness, but must always be in the company of the shepherd. So they can't survive alone in the wilderness. They have to be in the company of the shepherd. They are defenseless animals that are prone to get lost, and they need constant care. The Middle Eastern shepherd loved his sheep, and he gave each one a name and cared for each one. Shepherds lead their sheep by providing food and water for them. Shepherds take care of their sheep when they're weary, bruised, cut, or sick. Shepherds rescue their sheep when they stray. And they assist in delivering lambs. I thought about all the pregnant mamas in the church. The shepherd lay down and slept in the single doorway of the sheepfold. And any enemy or wild beast would have to pass him to attack his flock. That's pretty awesome. The shepherd would also examine the sheep as they entered the fold to be sure none of them was bruised, injured, or sick from eating a poisonous plant. To those who were hurt, he applied soothing oil. For the first thirsty, he had his large two-handled cup filled with water. He would also apply oil to the heads and the horns of the sheep to help keep the flies and other insects away. Sheep lack good vision and are easily frightened in new circumstances, especially when it's dark, and in the presence of the shepherd, he calms them. Now you think about what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. Such a beautiful picture of the tender, loving care of our God. In Psalm 23, we also read some facts about the shepherd when it says, the Lord is our shepherd. He's our nurturer, our provider, our guide, our protector, and our companion. When you read the Lord, and when Lord is in all capital letters, it's referring to Jehovah, God. And why that is significant is God is a covenant God. He makes a covenant with his people. So when we read, I shall not want, what we see about God is that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. When he leads us beside still waters, he's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. When he restores our soul, he's Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals. And as he leads us in his paths of righteousness, he's Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. He is with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. In the presence of our enemies, he is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. And when he anoints our head with oil, he's Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. So we see, and there's more in this psalm that we can really dig into, but what we see is a personal God there that takes care of his people. And when you think about when we looked at the next chapter of our book, the purpose of our devotional time with the Lord is so that we can come to know him in this way, in a very real and a real practical way, in the ways that we just looked at. Whether we're that sheep that fits into those descriptions that we just read about earlier, or whether we're in a situation where we need to know his peace, or we need to have our souls restored, or maybe we need healing in some way. God wants to reveal himself to us in a very intimate and personal way as we spend time with him. And that's the purpose of devotions. That's what we saw in that chapter, right? The first reason for devotion is that we may have communion with God, commune with him. The most important purpose of our daily devotional life is not so that we could check off another task of our to-do list. This is for us to-do ladies, that we have our checklist. Okay, I have my time with the Lord, check off. It's not to be that. Rather, it is that we might experience intimate union and communion with God. Intimacy, that's what we saw with Moses, right? Moses had that face-to-face relationship with God, which was a picture of intimacy, picture of two lovers coming together. And God was able to reveal himself to Moses, reveal his ways to Moses, because Moses was willing to pay the price to know God in this way. He was willing to spend much time alone with God. We saw that in what we read in our chapter and in the scriptures. It tells us he would take 40 days to go up to the mountain and be with the Lord. You know, I mean, he purposed to spend time with the Lord, away from the crowds, away from the distractions, away from the people that were pulling on him. And he patiently waited for God to speak to him. He waited on the Lord. And as we meet with God in our daily devotional time, we must not forget that the ultimate purpose is not simply to gain more head knowledge about God or his word, but to know him and to enjoy that intimate communion with him. Look at it this way. We are eating a communal meal with him, right? Because the word of God is spirit and life to us. And as we eat his word, taking it in, we're communing with him face to face. We're spending time with him in that intimacy. What you saw from your study was that eating a meal together is a universal symbol of friendship and fellowship. So as you approach the word of God in that way, we are to reverence the word of God, approach it in meekness, but not to forget God wants to reveal himself to us like he did Moses. He wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to fellowship with him face to face, as it were, in his word, through his word. Again, our devotional time is not to jump through spiritual hoops. We read this in the chapter, right? Or to fulfill some sort of homework assignment. But it is to sit down and eat a fellowship meal with the Lord, to commune with him face to face, not only just like Moses did, but also Mary. Remember Mary and Martha? Mary was preparing a meal, that intimacy, that fellowship, through a meal. Martha was, but Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was sitting at his feet, listening, hearing his word. So the second reason we saw for devotion is for the purification or cleansing of our hearts and our lives, right? How many here would agree that we live in a very corrupt world and we have a contaminated flesh that still clings to us? Don't we all have a way of getting our spiritual feet, hands, and clothes soiled every day? No matter how hard we say, Lord, I'm not going to sin against you, don't we get soiled every day? Well, remember, the second reason for devotions is for the reason of purification and cleansing. As we go out from day to day, I love this quote, coming into contact with the world, there's only one way to keep clean, and that's by taking frequent baths in the Word of God. How many would agree to that? There's so much filth in our world. Deception, lies, so much stuff going on right now. And if we're not spending time in God's word, we're not going to see things from God's perspective. And we'll get angry. We'll wish murder on people. Right? Judgment. Our hearts won't be right. But as we spend time with the Lord, he's able to point these attitudes out in our heart that aren't right and say, hey, pray for them. They need to repent. Because they can slip into eternity at any moment, and you know where they're going. And do you really want that for them? So when we spend time with the Lord, it's an opportunity for him to purify us, to cleanse our hearts. But we need to spend time at his feet and in his word, taking frequent baths in his word, so he can expose those things in our heart that just are wrong, our attitudes that are wrong. Psalm 12, verse 6 tells us the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. God's word is the only pure thing that's here on planet Earth. Young girls, remember that always. His word is the only pure thing. Nothing else. And as we saw the first class, I think we did, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, says, how can a young man or woman cleanse his or her way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So what we see from God's word, if we are spending time in it and allowing God's word to show us what's not right in our heart, it has the ability to cleanse us, to purify us inside. Spurgeon said the surest mode of cleansing the way of our life is to seek after God himself and to endeavor to abide in fellowship with him. So cleansing comes from the blood of Christ and the word of God. What we see with the blood of Christ is that if we see our heart has not been right in some of the things that we see here or are experiencing right now, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9 tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see we need the blood of Jesus as we walk through this world. Day by day, moment by moment, we need his cleansing. 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2 tells us, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. We have to remember that. So cleansing comes through the blood of Christ, but also, as I mentioned earlier, from the word of God. John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Has God's word ever discerned you in that way? The thoughts and intents of your heart? Isn't that amazing how God's word does that? He knows us inside, through and through. I'm always amazed how his word just knows how to penetrate and expose our inside world. John 17:17, when Jesus prayed for his disciples, he said, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So again, we're seeing that God's word is true, but also it can set us apart for God because we realize, okay, my attitude is just as bad as the attitude of this world when I'm shaking my fist back or saying, God, get them. That's God, get them. They don't deserve. Let's not forget where we came from. Ephesians 5:26, when the Apostle Paul was given instructions about husbands with their wives, he said, sanctify and cleanse them with the washing of the word, of water, with the washing of water by the word, same as Christ washes us. So that says a lot about God's word. You know, as we spend time with him at his feet, we should be allowing him to purify us inside, purify our hearts, our mind, our attitudes, our thinking, our way. like we looked at Psalm 1, if we're on the wrong pathway, that God would get us back on the right pathway. When we go back to Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is one of the ways He leads us back into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, if we're called Christians, He's going to lead us in the pathway He walked in. But how are we going to know what that pathway is unless He's teaching us through His word what His pathway is, how to respond in this time we're living in? To those that don't know the Lord, to those that do know the Lord, how do we respond? We're not going to know unless we're spending time at His feet. So as we saw, the second reason of daily devotions is to get back into His presence. If we've wandered, like we saw in Psalm 1 a couple of weeks ago, two pathways, right? Two destinies. Sometimes we wander. We're prone to wander. But when we get back into His presence, He kind of calls us back, draws us back. And we find out what's caused the breach between me and Him. What sin is there in my heart? That maybe that's why I feel like He's 1,000 miles away. But He's not. And it's also to reestablish fellowship with Him. To say, Lord, I need You. I need You every moment of the day. I can't do this life without You. I can't do this Christian thing without You. I can't be a wife without You. I can't be a mother without You. I can't be a worker without You, an employee without You. I can't be a daughter without You. I can't even be a customer in Walmart without You. Or if there's a long line at the post office without You. Can any of you relate? We need to ask God to expose anything on our heart that's not holy. You know, the little notebooks I gave you all, that would be good to write in that notebook as you spend time with the Lord. Before you start your time with the Lord, just asking Him, God, expose anything in my heart that's not holy. Shine the light of Your holiness there and show me what You see. Because You see better than what I see. I don't see. But You see. And You know. And to ask God to use His word to wash the innermost parts of our heart. God, wash me, cleanse me during this time. Purify me. You know, there was a reference in the chapter that the Old Testament priests, if you remember, when they went into the temple, they had to go through this whole ritual of cleansing, right? Their hands and their feet. Remember that from Exodus 30, 17 through 21? Some people may say, well, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. We're not under the law. But 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 tells us, therefore, having these promises, beloved, talking about God will be a father to us and we'll be His sons and daughters if we touch not the unclean thing, if we separate ourselves from just the idolatry that's going on in the world, then He'll be a father to us. If we're living that set apart life to Him. But He's saying here, therefore, since we have these promises that He's telling us, I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that again tells me I got to do something. I got to respond to the Lord when He's pointing things out in that time I'm spending with Him. You know, because when you think about, when we looked at that first point, Moses was a friend of God, right? He had intimacy with God. He spoke to Him face to face. We know God is holy, right? So we can't come to Him if we're full of unrepentant, unconfessed sin. We're fooling ourselves. But yet, we just read scriptures telling us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if we want to have that intimacy restored with the Lord, if we've gone off in some way, we have to just confess and repent. And ask God, renew that fellowship that we once had again. And that's what we see in John 3:3, where it talks about the hope that we are called children of God, the verses 1 through 1 and 2, that we are children of God. What kind of love has God bestowed on us that we are called children of God? But then it talks about how when we see him, we're going to be like him. And then in John 3:3, it says, everyone who has this hope fixed on him, we read it again, he purifies himself just as he's pure. So that's telling me I have to live a lifestyle of repentance. I repent when I get saved, but I have to keep repenting. I mean, we just don't repent one time and we're good. We got to keep repenting. Because like we saw, we drift, we wander, we get busy, we put God last. Sometimes we don't even, he's not even on the schedule for the day for some. So everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we see that's the second reason for devotions, is to get back into his presence and find out what has caused a breach, and to reestablish that relationship with him. And the third reason for devotion is for restoration. To restore in Hebrew means to return. It's used to speak of God's people returning to him and of God returning to his people. And you see that throughout the Old Testament, why God would send prophet after prophet after prophet, telling the people, repent, turn back to me, repent, turn back to me. If you turn back, then I will bless you. I will relent, maybe even in my judgment that you deserve. You know what I mean? If we turn to him, he turns back to us. The restoration of our souls is a ministry of our great shepherd that we read in Psalm 23, what we opened with. He leads us, right? Beside still waters. And what does he do there? He restores our soul. Our spirit gets weary, right? How many here, your spirit gets weary? Your soul feels like, I need to be restored. I feel poured out, empty. Anyone here feel that way? Do you feel like you need to be refreshed often? There's only one place that's going to come from. Psalm 23, 2 and 3, just as a recap again, what we opened with, he leads me beside green pastures, beside still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. I need that, Lord. But as we're seeing from this whole study that we started, we have to be intentional. We have to purpose in our heart to set that time aside to be with him. Whether it's in the morning or in the middle of the night, whenever you can. Breaks in between. I remember back before Jeff and I came to Pure Life, he was still wrestling with his sin. And he had been through two other programs. And I knew, I can't do this, God. I can't go to work, be in meetings, be holding class. I can't do this with my husband not coming home, not knowing if he's alive in jail or what's going on. And I'm telling you, at times I had to literally, in my break, go to the bathroom. And luckily my office was where the bathroom was right in the stairwell, and there were no other offices or anything. It was just like the side stairwell to go up and down through the administration building in the hospital. And sometimes I go in that bathroom and just cry. Cry out to God, cry. And then come back to my desk, sit, felt like I had the grace to do what I had to do. And I had several bosses I was working for. And then I would just sense my need again. And have to just go to the bathroom. That was my closet. That was my prayer closet during that time. The bathroom. Whatever it took. Sometimes it was just the stairwell, sitting on the stairs for an hour. Whatever it takes to get along with God. What are you willing to do? The price you're willing to pay? Where are you willing to go to have that? It's something we have to look at to be intentional. You know, he wants to lead us besides green pastures. He wants to restore our soul. But again, we have to be intentional about it. You know, we have to choose. So as we respond to the different needs of those around us, how many here would say we can feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually depleted? Yeah, I see heads shaking, hands being raised for those that aren't here listening online. We need to come back into his presence to get our supply replenished, right? To be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that in Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, where it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to know the will of the Lord if we're not in the Word of God, right? So that's number one. We see that again. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And we need that time where he can lead us to restore us, to revive us, to life us. We need to allow him to anoint and refresh our heads with fresh oil. Like Psalm 23 says, right? He anoints my head with oil so that our cup's running over. Some of us are giving out of our fumes. We're giving out of fumes. And you know how you know you're giving out of fumes? When you have no patience for anyone, you're short, biting everyone's head off. That's how you know. Time to get at your feet, Jesus. It's time for me to shut myself in with you. Everything else can wait. Ministry, laundry, people, phone calls, texts, Facebook, everything else could wait. If we fail to stop to draw from him fresh living waters daily, we will be operating out of our own depleted resources. And David understood this. Psalm 63:1 says, oh God, you are my God, and early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And David wrote that when he was on the run, hiding in caves. We saw that area. There's nothing there unless you go hike all the way up and then come down and go into where in Engedi they have the streams in there, a waterfall. And it's all lush because of the waterfall, but everything else is barren, totally barren. And from that place, you can look down on the Dead Sea where there's nothing. There's nothing. But David knew, God, you're my God, and I need you in this situation. I'm going to seek you early. I don't care what it costs me. If it costs me everything, which it was costing him everything, I know I need you. I need you, and I'm afraid that we're going to be soon and very soon in the same position. But it might be a good thing for us. Again, sheep do not get fed, refreshed, or restored on the run. Remember, we opened with that. They don't get refreshed, restored, and refreshed on the run. They must be willing to slow down, to stop at times, to be still, to lie down. So do we. So do we. So I'm going to just close out in prayer and then we'll start our discussion from the book, so we have plenty of time to go through that as well. But Father, I do thank you that you just keep reminding us that we need you. We so need you so desperately, Lord. In this day that we're living in, God, I still know that we don't see right. We don't really see how desperate it is, but it's desperate. Things are happening quickly. They're happening fast. It's like a snowball going down a hill and it's just become a great avalanche. But I'm so glad that you are still sovereign and in control of what's coming. And Father, I pray that we would learn now how to allow you to be the good shepherd in our life, like we read about in Psalm 23. That we would allow you to draw us into this intimate communion that you want to have with us, like you had with Moses, so that you could reveal to us the things you want us to know for this time that we're living in, so that we would allow you to purify our hearts in that time, because you are going to return for a pure and spotless bride, Jesus. We know that you will come again, but it's for your pure and spotless bride. Bride that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The bride that realizes, I don't have anything to present to you, God, except for what Jesus did on the cross. He is my only righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would have our hearts in the way you want us to have our hearts, Lord, as sheep, your sheep. Lord, I pray this, not only for the ladies that are here, but the ones that are listening online. I pray that we would make time to get still before you, Lord. Intentional time to be at your feet. Help us to get our priorities in the right order. We can put life on hold, but we can't put you on hold, because you are our life. And if you're not flowing through us, then what do we have to give to others? Nothing. So Lord, I pray that you would lead us as your sheep, guide us, restore us, anoint our heads with oil. Lord, everything that Psalm 23 says, I pray that you would be that to us during this time in history that we're living, Lord, that we would take heed to these words, Lord. God, help us to take heed to what you're saying right now to us, to your church, your global church, Lord. Unstop our ears so we can hear better. Ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.